कुंज बिहारी जय राधो माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंदन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंदन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधो माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधो माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंदन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंदन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधो माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधो माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तरस्त श्री श्रीमरेशी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभु पार की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय आ गौरेश्वरी असम लगौती श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The birth of Lord Krishna, text number 33. Word meanings, Yuyam, both of you, Prishni and Sutapa, by indeed Brahmana Adishtau, ordered by Lord Brahma, who is known as Pitamaha, the father of the Prajapatis. Praja Sarge, in the creation of progeny, Yada when, Tata thereafter, Sanniyamya, keeping under full control, Indriya Gramam, the senses, Tepate underwent Paramam, very great, Tapaha, austerity. Yuyam vai brahmanadishtau Praja sarge yada tata Sanniyam yendriya gramam Tepate paramam tapa Yuyam vai brahmanadishtau Praja sarge yada tata Sanniyam yendriya gramam Tepate paramam tapa Yuyam vai brahmanadishtau Praja sarge yada tata Sanniyam yendriya gramam Tepate paramam tapa Yuyam vai brahmanadishtau Praja sarge yada tata Sanniyam indriya ikramam Tepate paramam tapa Yuyam vai brahmanadishtau Praja sarge yada tata Sanniyam indriya gramam Tepate paramam tapa Yuyam vai brahmanadishtau Praja sarge yaja tata Sanniyam indriya gramam Tepate paramam tapa Ladies. Yuyam vai brahmanadishtau Praja sarge yada tata Sanniyam yendriya gramam Tepate paramam tapa Yuyam vai brahmanadishtau Praja sarge yada tata Pati paramam tapa Yuyam vai brahmanadishtau Praja sarge yada tata Sanniyam yendriya gramam Tepate paramam tapa Translation. When both of you were ordered by Lord Brahma to create progeny, you first underwent severe austerities by controlling your senses. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Here is an instruction about how to use one's senses to create progeny. According to Vedic principles, before creating progeny, one must fully control the senses. This control takes place through the Garbhadhan Sanskar. In India, there is great agitation for birth control in various mechanical ways, but birth cannot be mechanically controlled. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 13.9, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam. Birth, death, old age, and disease are certainly the primary distresses of the material world. People are trying to control birth, but they are not able to control death. And if one cannot control death, one cannot control birth either. In other words, artificially controlling birth is not any more feasible than artificially controlling death. According to Vedic civilization, procreation should not be contrary to religious principles, and then the birth rate will be controlled. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.11, Dharma virudho bhuteshu kamosmi. Sex not contrary to religious principles is a representation of the Supreme Lord. People should be educated in how to give birth to good children through samskars, beginning with the Garbhadhan samskar. Birth should not be controlled by artificial means, for this will lead to a civilization of animals. If one follows religious principles, he automatically practices birth control, because if one is spiritually educated, he knows that the after effects of sex are various types of misery, bahudukha bhaja. One who is spiritually advanced does not indulge in uncontrolled sex. Therefore, instead of being forced to refrain from sex or refrain from giving birth to many children, people should be spiritually educated, and then birth control will automatically follow. If one is determined to make spiritual advancement, he will not beget a child unless able to make that child a devotee. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.18, Pita na sasyat. One should not become a father unless one is able to protect his child from mrityu, the path of birth and death. But where is their education about this? A responsible father never begets children like cats and dogs. Instead of being encouraged to adopt artificial means of birth control, people should be educated in Krishna consciousness, because only then will they understand their responsibility to their children. If one can beget children who will be devotees and be taught to turn aside from the path of birth and death, mrityu samsara vartmani, there is no need of birth control. Rather, one should be encouraged to beget children. Artificial means of birth control have no value. Whether one begets children or does not, a population of men who are like cats and dogs will never make human society happy. It is therefore necessary for people to be educated spiritually, so that instead of begetting children like cats and dogs, they will undergo austerities to produce devotees. This will make their lives successful. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militamena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Yuyam vai brahmanadishta praja sarge yadatataha sanyam yandriya gramam tipate paramam tapaha. When both of you were ordered by Lord Brahma to create progeny, you first underwent severe austerities by controlling your senses. This verse is in the context of Lord Krishna telling Vasudeva and Devaki little something about their previous lives. In the previous verse, he said that they were first born as Prishni and Sutapa. Prishni and Sutapa were Prajapatis. And then in another birth, I don't know where that's stated, maybe in an upcoming purport or in another verse, he says that you appeared twice before, and this is the third time you appeared as my parents. The second time was as when he appeared as Vamanadeva. So this first time, as Prishni Garbha, the name of the son of Prishni and Sutapa is Prishni Garbha. He's one of the incarnations of the Lord. And he's also called Dhruva Priya, because this Prishni Garbha is the form who appeared before Dhruva Maharaj. So this happened during the Swayambhuva Manvantar. So Swayambhuva, of course, is the first of the Manvantars. Now we're in the Vaivasvata Manvantar, who's the 7th, right? So it's been a long time since Prishnagarbha appeared. And then Bhamana, he appears three times during this Manvantara. So first, way back in the beginning, during the reign of Swayambhuva Manu, Prishni and Sutapa, they gave birth to Prishnagarbha, who appeared to Dhruva Maharaj. And then Vamanadev, and they gave birth to Vamanadev, and now Krishna. So here Prabhupada talks about Prishni and Sutapa. They underwent austerities because they were going to have a child. They wanted to have a wonderful child. Of course, they had the Supreme Lord as their child. So Prabhupada said, this is the pauper consciousness in reference to birth control. And he brings this up, this point that people are after birth control because they're afraid of overpopulation. We tend to scoff at this idea of overpopulation. We know Prabhupada said many things about it. The idea started, at least in modern history, I suppose it didn't really start before then, around 1800. There was a British economist named Malthus. So Malthus came up with this idea that he said that food production increases arithmetically and population increases geometrically. So that means the population is going to get away from the food production eventually. Eventually you're going to run out of food. So this, we say, no, that's not true because, well, first of all, Krishna, eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. He can fulfill the desires of all the living entities. He creates us so he can take care of us. We know we have the metaphor that this material world is like a prison. So when you're in prison, at least you get fed. So there's no reason anyone needs to starve. In fact, some people commit crime just so they can go to jail and get something to eat. So you know at least you're going to get fed. So Krishna can take care of everyone. There's no problem. Ekang senastito jagat, he says in Bhagavad Gita. Just with a single fragment of myself, I can take care of this whole universe. I heard one time a devotee explain, just as a way of thinking of it, Krishna performed so many activities, and this whole creation that takes so long, we know 311 trillion years Lord Brahma lives in so many universes, it takes about as much energy for Krishna to blink his eye. That's how much effort it takes for Krishna to do all that. So it's not a big job for him. He's not like Atlas. Prabhupada mentioned that too. Atlas is struggling. Oh, Earth is so heavy. So it's not a struggle for Krishna. He can do it very easily. So that's the first principle to understand, is that God can take care of us. He can certainly take care of his children. Of course, we have to be in good standing. That has something to do with it. Sometimes parents, they reject their children. Now, Krishna doesn't exactly reject us, but he can withdraw. There's a very interesting, I haven't been able to find it, but I know I heard it on the tape one time, where Prabhupada actually said that you shouldn't give food in charity. He wasn't talking about devotees necessarily, but in principle, the idea was because these people are being punished. It's just like if a person is in jail as being punished, you can't go in there and, you know, relieve his punishment. That's his punishment. So giving in charity that's not connected to Krishna, you're actually interfering. Of course, that raises a lot of questions about kings and how they're supposed to take care of the welfare of their citizens and so on. But they have certain responsibility. In any case, you can understand the principle. This is a person's punishment, then it's not your job to relieve it. They're supposed to be suffering. We have our own way of relieving suffering, of course, which is the bona fide way given by Krishna. So in any case, Krishna can provide. We know in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that if you perform sacrifice, then the rains will come, and then the food will come. So when people talk about overpopulation, we know from our side that, don't worry, we don't have to worry about overpopulation because Krishna can take care of everyone. Even the material scientists, researchers, they also say that it isn't true that we're going to run out of food. There was a study done by some University of California, Davis, by some professors there, and they calculated that if we used our best agricultural methods, then the surplus that the United States produces could feed all the starving of the world. And we could feed actually 10 times, if the whole world was doing this, 10 times the present population could be fed. And if there was a vegetarian diet, something like 50 times the present population could be fed. Because one of the reasons for the shortage of food is land is mismanaged, just mismanagement in general. You know, the U.S. government pays farmers not to produce food. The land is there because it's all, you know, how capitalism works, and you have to, or at least they have the idea that they have to control things, control prices. So in order to control prices, they tell people what they can grow, or they tell people not to grow things, or sometimes food is just thrown away, dumped into the ocean, or it used to be. I suppose the ecologists probably don't allow that anymore. They used to just dump it into the ocean. So it's mismanaged. It's there, but it's not distributed properly. Already it's there. And there's also so much land that's just lying vacant, not producing, and how much more of it could be produced if there was proper rain, which is the result of sacrifice. So just from that point of view, an ordinary material point of view, if the land were used properly, then we wouldn't have to worry about overpopulation. So here Prabhupada talks about what their idea is. First of all, they think there's overpopulation. So they want to control that overpopulation. And what's their method? Contraception and abortion. So both of these things, of course, according to Vedic culture, these are greatly sinful activities. The contraceptive method, as Prabhupada would often call it, what it generally entails is to make the womb an unsuitable place for life to generate. We know from Bhagavad Gita that life is actually already there in the particle of male semen that's injected within the womb. So you're killing right from the beginning, even with ordinary contraception. Then what to speak of abortion, which is a horrible thing. As one place Prabhupada says, so if you know, those who perform abortion, they will themselves have to become aborted over and over again. They'll enter into a womb and they'll never see the light of day. They'll never come out of that. They'll be in that dark place for many, many births. So it's an extremely sinful activity and very dangerous for one's progress in this world. So we're certainly against that. So what is our alternative? Here Prabhupada gives some different ideas. First of all, he says, don't think that it's an interesting point that he makes here. Krishna says, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. These are facts of life. They're unavoidable facts of life. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Whenever Prabhupada would talk about people, the scientists are trying to solve problems, he would always say, but these they can never solve. Birth, death, old age, and disease. So you might admit, well, we can stop death. We can't stop death. We'll fail at that, but we'll be able to stop birth. We'll just stop zero population growth. This was a slogan for a while. Zero ZPG, zero population growth. That was the goal of some people. So Prabhupada says, no, just as death is an unavoidable fact of material existence, birth is also. Of course, we also know that when there's death, then there's birth, because after death comes another birth. So these things are always happening, birth and death. That's the material world, and you can't stop it artificially. So how do you control the population? Dharma virudha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshaba. The first thing is, you live your life according to religious principles. And when you live according to religious principles, part of that is how to create children according to religious principles. The garbhadan samskar. Now I don't know exactly what the ritual was in previous times. We hear a little something about it. Prabhupada mentions in one place how it was actually made public. Now this woman, man and woman, they're going to unite to produce a child, so we're going to have this sacrifice. The priests would come and Brahmins would come and perform some kind of sacrifice. So we don't do any official sacrifice, but Prabhupada recommended chanting 50 rounds. So that's a deterrent in itself, chanting 50 rounds. That's a lot of rounds. So in any case, religious principles, if you accept them, said, no, this is, if you think, oh, this is my religious duty, I'm not going to have a child unless I'm prepared for it. In Bhagavad Gita, of course, Arjuna, he's one of his arguments to Krishna about why he shouldn't fight, he told Krishna that, well, if the men are killed, then the women will be unprotected, and then we'll have Varna Sankara, unwanted population. Sankara, I think Sankara actually means mixed. Prabhupada always translated it as unwanted population. So mixed, like mixed castes. Or mixed up. So mixed up people, Varna Sankara. That's the result of not planning. Today, they have the word family planning. What does that mean, family planning? It means abortion and contraception. That's what family planning means. It doesn't mean Vedic family planning. Vedic family planning means you plan to have a child, and that child is loved and taken care of and raised. The principle is, right from the beginning, we're going to have a child and raise this child in Krishna consciousness. So that if you have that conception in mind, then naturally you don't just procreate. Even this Malthus, who I mentioned, who pointed out the expanding population, his solution was not contraception. His solution was self-restraint. He was against illicit sex. And he said illicit sex, I don't know if the term, if he used exactly that phrase, but he said it will produce bad population. The people who engage in it will be bad, and the children will also be bad. So he had this, he was educated enough, learned enough, insightful enough to understand this. So Arjuna, he also was afraid that it will have Varna Sankara. So if you practice religious principles, then you guard against that. So another thing Prabhupada mentions in the same context is education, which means education in philosophy. Our education, of course, in Krishna consciousness involves understanding the nature of this material world. Besides we're learning about Krishna and everything about Krishna and Krishna's Leela, we're also learning about this material world. We have many great teachers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada quotes three words from a verse here, Bahudukha Bhaja. Bahudukha means many miseries, and Bhaja means to experience or to feel. So he's referring to this verse, Yanmaitunari Grihamedi Sukham Ituchyam Kandu Yanena Karayori Badukka Dukkam Tripyanti Neha Kripana Bahudukha Bhaja. So this is the famous verse about rubbing the hands together to relieve an itch. That's what sex life is. Yan maitunadi. Maitun means sex. Actually, literally just means coming together. Yan maitunadi. Adi means beginning with. So all the things beginning with sex. There's Prabhupada, he translates that, he gives in a word-for-word translation to that verse. He says something like, one of the things he mentions is, anyway, he says sex, he doesn't mention sex, and what comes after sex, of course, is family and all the responsibilities and hardship that can come from that. That's also maitunadi. But he says anything that's connected to sex, like sexual literature or sexual cinema, or those, that kind of thing, that's also included here. Because all those things, they're part of the attempt to get pleasure. The sex industry is gigantic. One of the main things that drives technology is actually the sex industry, digital technology. because people want to enjoy in so many different ways, virtually. So the brains of computer scientists are put to work creating realistic sexual situations that are actually just digital. So it's very powerful. The attraction is very powerful. But what does Prahlad Maharaj say? Kandu yanena karayori va dukkha dukkham. He says it's just like scratching an itch. The sexual desire in our culture, of course, is meant to make us all itch as much as possible. Because so much grows out of that also. Because of sex, you can say so much of the clothing industry, imagine how big that is driven by sex. And the food industry, the restaurant industry, and so many things. I think of this sometimes, how eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are the four things we say that this is all human life. Ahara nidra bhaya maitun. So eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So we say that's all that human beings do without religion. Anything besides religion is that. So then I think, well, what about all these other things that people do? They're not just having sex and eating and sleep. They're doing other things too. So there must be some connection here. So certainly under the umbrella of sex, there's a lot of things that you can put in there. The mating game. The mating game includes a lot of different things. So all of that, and of course, as I'm saying, like advertising, and there's so much propaganda, which is meant to actually stimulate our sexual appetite. Which also increases, is good for consumerism, it's good for business, it's good for the economy. Sex is good for the economy. So that itching is there. Modern civilization brings on the itch. Like poison oak, the whole society, the whole world is. So what happens when you scratch it, anyone who's had poison oak or poison ivy, you know what happens when you scratch it, then it spreads all over the place, becomes a real mess. You have to keep your fingers off it. So restraint, dhira, Prahlad Maharaj mentions this verse, one who is dhira, then he resists that scratching of the itch. So this is also how you control the population. You teach self-restraint. This, of course, today is pretty much scoffed at. There was a campaign for drugs. Was it the president's wife? Nancy Reagan, I think it was, that started that, right? Just say no. Just say no to drugs. So there are also sometimes, this is sometimes tried to apply to young people, just say no to sex. They try to just abstain from it. Just don't do it, and you won't have to worry about teenage pregnancy and so on. But many people say, well, their kids are going to have sex. It's just the way it is. And just, of course, the culture we live in today, it's actually amazing. It's shocking, actually. My old age, I become shocked how strong it is. If any of you have actually had to see, like, these young women who sing now these days, popular singers, I'll just happen to mention one of them, Britney Spears. So those who are in that category, their performances are so sexual. It's amazing. There's practically like they're having simulated sex on stage. And who is their audience? 10, 12-year-old girls are watching this. It's just amazing. So then you think, but we don't want our kids to have sex, but this is what they're seeing all the time. So we say, of course, we don't want to protect our children from that kind of thing, which is difficult in the age that we live in. And we train them. And of course, ultimately, there can't be much restraint or abstention. There can't be abstention. You can't reject unless you have something that's better. So we have something better. That's our proposal. Here's something better. Instead of trying to eat this thing, you think you want to eat this forbidden fruit, which looks so delicious. It's not actually. So much of it is just hype. It's the illusion. It's the illusion of it's going to be so great. It's so great. It's going to be so great. But what is it? A few moments pleasure. Prabhupada would talk like this. For a few moments' pleasure, then you have a whole lifetime of misery. Or at least difficulty, let's say, raising children. All of the headaches involved in that. So the attraction, and of course, if there's no marriage, then, or what it does to society, so many problems. Today we have so many broken families, single family household where women are struggling, especially it tends to fall on the women are struggling. So what, because they're the attraction to think that the taste is so wonderful. But we have the example of Yamunacharya, Yadavadi Mamachita Krishna Padaravinde, Nava Nava Rasadhaman Yujitam Rantamasit. He says that when I'm engaged in Krishna consciousness, I get a new taste at every moment. Nava Nava Rasa. And when I think of my former sex life, then I just want to spit in disgust. That pleasure is nothing. It's disgusting. It's not real pleasure. Now I'm tasting real pleasure. So Krishna consciousness, of course, we have two things going on. We have self-control, but we have that addition of getting some taste, some nectar, some juice from Krishna consciousness. So that's our solution to the birth control, the birth population, overpopulation problem. First of all, we don't admit that there is any. And we say that if you want to control it, you can control it automatically with Krishna consciousness. Again, our answer is always, the solution is Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we joke, we have this joke about our Vedic observers in Back to Godhead. We say, we present a problem real briefly, then the solution is chant Hare Krishna. Becomes a little stereotype sometimes. But the fact is, that is the solution. That is the solution to everything. Chant Hare Krishna, and everything else will be taken care of from that. So here's an example where Prabhupada is presenting in different ways how Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious education can deal with the problem of birth as it's seen in modern times. So the verse again, Yuyam vai brahmanadishtau praja sarge yadatata sanyendendriya gramam te pate paramam tapaha. When both of you were ordered by Lord Brahma to create progeny, you first underwent severe austerities by controlling your senses. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu, in the back.
I want to ask about the last part that you talked about, the solution is chanting Hare Krishna. I went downtown Gainesville, and there's a park down there. About 150 people live in this park, and they're starving. They're poor. They're homeless. So they would agree with you that there's an abundance of food. And their perception is they're being kept from it. They're being kept from employment. I know that the Krishna Lunch donates a lot of food to the Salvation Army. And so that's food distributed to those folks through the Salvation Army. At least that's what Kalakanta told me. As far as the incarcerated people you talked about, yeah, they're fed, but I would say it's a slow death by poisoning. I mean, beef gruel for lunch is not food, really.
I'm not saying they're fed well. I was just making a point. That's
yeah, all. Yeah, I accept your point, but it's sort of like a torture. But here's my question. And as far as sex is concerned, obviously, if you follow politics, if you turn on the internet, if you follow entertainment whatsoever, you're exposed to sex. Illicit sex, no doubt about it. But my specific question is this. In this movement, are we praying for these people? Or is your answer that the prayer is the chanting? So I'm chanting 16 rounds. Is that my prayer for these people? Or does the tradition hold that, this Hare Krishna movement say that? No, in addition to that, I say, please, Krishna God, help these poor who are in downtown Gainesville tonight. It's cold. I'm sure they did not have a very nice night last night. Are we praying for them? That's my question.
We're living for them. We're not just praying for them. We're trying to change the world. Now, one thing, this is a very complex problem. you know, you talk about individual people maybe complaining. Now, every individual person has their history. One thing we find about, I don't want to make too much of a generalization, but many people who live in the streets, maybe it's not so much today, but people make bad decisions in their lives, and those decisions have consequences. A very, very large percentage of people who live on the street are alcoholics. And, you know, that's what they do with their money. So they've made bad choices. They probably had opportunities to live a better life and be fed and not be starving on the street, but they lost it. So now they're crying, oh, what was me? So I don't want to sound not compassionate, but that's part of it. And also, you know, what we're doing when we're chanting Hare Krishna, in a sense, we're praying for all living entities. We're praying to be servants of Krishna. What does a servant of Krishna do? A servant of Krishna helps living entities. But our solution ultimately is not just to feed people. We want to liberate people from this material world, liberate them from material existence. So we can do that. We can distribute prasad and we can help them in that way. But our solution, our ultimate solution is education. That's certainly bona fide. There are different ways that you can help people. The best way to help people is through education. Even on the mundane level, that's sometimes said, that you can feed somebody or you can teach somebody how to grow food. So it's much better to teach someone how to grow their own food. So it's in the same way, we're teaching, and we're teaching the highest thing, which is ultimately the solution. Because the problem is ignorance. Ultimately, it gets down to that. The root of the problem is ignorance, which, of course, has grown out of envy of Krishna. So we try to purify them. When we're out in the street chanting Hare Krishna, we're helping to purify them. We're helping them. So it may be a long-term solution, but it's a permanent solution. So, in fact, the devotees are full of compassion. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the devotee as atmopamyena sarvatra, means that he sees the other living entities just like himself. Just like if we have some, if you stub your toe, then immediately your hand goes there. Ow! You go to relieve it. So for the devotee, that same reflex, you can say, is there for all suffering. That same natural, spontaneous reaction to the suffering of others is there. Because the devotees know that we're not meant to suffer. It's only out of ignorance that we're suffering. So our solution is to help people spiritually. That's the real solution to the problem, ultimately. Yes, Gangadharan Prabhu?
I had it first.
He has the microphone, so let him.
Yeah. You brought up the issue of charity, and the Bhagavad Gita is explained that when Krishna begins to explain to Arjuna the different stages of holiness, so to speak, Krishna doesn't outright say, you know, that I'm the Supreme Personality of God. He's saying that charity purifies even the great souls. So, and there is a stage at which people cannot probably embrace full-fledged the principles of Krishna consciousness, but Krishna is even validating the fact that charity by itself is a symptom of an advanced person. Can you comment on that, since you brought up...
Yeah, you're kind of talking about two different things. One is about charity, its effectiveness and so on. Anyway... Yes, Krishna does say that. In fact, in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, if you can't do this, do this. If you can't do this, do this. And he starts by saying, you know, be my pure devotee and give everything to me. But making any kind of sacrifice is good for the soul. So there's some benefit. There. But as far as the devotees giving in charity, we give in charity, but according to how Krishna describes it in Bhagavad Gita, how he defines it in Bhagavad Gita, which is done at the proper place and the proper time and according to religious principles and so on. So in a kind of a general way, Krishna explains it, and Prabhupada explained it in a more specific way. He wanted us to, our charity was to distribute his books.
That's our charity, or distribute prasadam. That's really the main things that he encouraged us to do. So that's certainly charity. So we do it under the guidance of the spiritual master. But you're right. I mean, for an ordinary person, giving in charity does have some benefit. Even though philosophically there's the question of, well, should he actually be doing that? Well, probably not from the highest. There's karma involved, actually. Even in giving in charity, there's karmic reaction involved if it's not done under Krishna consciousness. First of all, it tends to be driven by some selfish desire, at least tainted. But one thing about giving in charity, Prabhupada says, is that it indicates the nature of the soul is to sacrifice, to surrender something. Ultimately, we're subordinate to Krishna. We serve Krishna. So the tendency to give in charity, even for someone not in Krishna consciousness, an ordinary person, that's a sign that the soul has this natural tendency to sacrifice. And that's where happiness comes from, ultimately. It comes from that, which is a kind of, it doesn't seem right that surrendering everything is what's going to make me happy. But that's our constitution. That's actually what makes us happy, not taking everything. So we're running out of time, but we'll take one more question.
In our economic atmosphere today, we're not living in an agrarian society. Srila Prabhupada had described in the Vedic culture that young girls get married at a very young age. Even 8-year-old girls could be married, or 11-year-old girls. Srila Prabhupada talks about 12-year-old girls producing babies. In our society, since economic development is usually not feasible till a male is like in their early 20s, if they go to college, then they graduate college and then they get a job, and usually they don't get married at a very young age. So young girls get pregnant because they don't have a husband to take care of them. When they reach puberty, they become, you know, agitated by sexual desire, and then they usually have sexual partners. And this happens, unfortunately, with our younger ladies in Krishna consciousness as well. So do you have any comment to make on what could possibly be any type of practical solution to this problem?
Well, it's hard for us to do anything for society in general. But within our own society, of course, we try to train and educate our daughters, sons and daughters, both, in the area where we have some control. That's naturally what we do. We try to protect our children. Now, we're not going to propose childhood marriages. That's one of those, I sometimes think there are so many details of, this is part of the social aspect of Krishna consciousness. So we don't, there are many details where that don't work anymore because you don't have the whole supportive culture there. Things are so different. We don't have the kinds of extended families and so many things that were different in former times where you could institute certain kinds of practices, but those practices just don't fit in the modern age. So we do the best with what we can, and the main thing is to make our children Krishna conscious. That's the only protection that we have, really.
But it doesn't seem to be working.
Chastity belts? No. What can I say? That's what Prabhupada would say. We only have one solution, Jai Hare Krishna. What else can I give you? That's the medicine. Yeah, Rangavati.
Thank you for that class. Very direct. Appreciate that. Abortion kills the living entity. So you're saying that the living entity is contained within the male semen, even one of them, right? So by having sex, that is killing?
Having
is
sex
that,
is...
Yeah, like that semen that is out, that is not meant for having a child, if there's illicit sex, then that is killing?
It would seem that way, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty cut and dry. There's no way around that I can see.
One thing about living in this world is we're killing all the time. Mm. You can't get out of bed without killing something. Mm. Our whole day we're killing.
So my question is that...
Even when we're sleeping, we're killing.
Yeah. So the question is that this is the highest standard that Prabhupada gave in the purport abstinence. And we know that spiritual life is a gradual process. So we know that particularly in youth, that there, as Ganga Narayan is pointing out, there is going to be sex. And that's just a fact we have to, you know, live with. So I have never read an answer to this question. I don't know what you can say, but I'm very interested. If you cannot abstain and there's going to be sex, and then what is the way of not having children or Krishna conscious contraception, if such a thing exists? In other words, in the Catholic Church, they have rhythm, and I don't know what else, but you know, there's different ways. But I've never heard if you can't abstain, then what? It's just sinful activity. If you take oral contraception or any other kind of contraception, is that completely sinful and killing? It just all seems so horrifying to me.
The problem is I don't have any, I don't have an authoritative answer because I don't know who to quote or where to quote. Prabhupada didn't say anything about, you know, he probably, there was one thing, that's all, abstention, that's it. And he didn't really even define what illicit sex is. We kind of had to use our imagination with that, you know. Just, we know during the Clinton era, he said he didn't have sex, but we know what he did. He did something else. So, you know, what is sex? Well, figure it out. So, but it's not like Prabhupada went into detail on these kinds of things. So Prabhupada gave it. And I know myself, I also think, well, when we talk about making the whole world Krishna conscious, we're going to have the whole world following the four regulative principles, abstaining from sex. It really doesn't sound like that's ever going to happen. So I don't know. That's what Prabhupada, he told us. You know, these are the four regulative principles, and if you don't follow them, you're not a human being. I don't know what else to say. That's what he said. I can't quote anything else. Maybe somebody's got some other way of... Bhakta Babaji.
You said earlier about using sex to bring things to sell stuff and stuff like that. I mean, yesterday I was gracious enough to visit your mall here in Gainesville for the first time. And first shop I run into is Victoria's Secret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there it is right there.
And nothing secret about it anymore, is it?
Yeah, yeah. The one I'm just going to mention briefly, I really don't have a question, but I don't have any children now. That's something that between me and Krishna. But my point is I love children 98% of the time. So others. But what I'm trying to say is there's a commercial, now we're in Christmas. Okay, here comes Jesus. All right? What my point is this, if you watch TV, it's again back to your comment, which is so true. You watch TV, and they usually say, oh, you know, Christmas is about children, Christmas is about giving, Christmas is about this, and yes, it is. And giving should be done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, here it is. There is a commercial on TV, and it breaks my heart. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's in slow motion. It's Christmas morning, the kids are up, and they're slowly running to the Christmas tree for the gifts. Who's running with them? Papa. And Papa's about to knock down the children to get to the TV that he's got for Christmas, that he looks at as if it were God. My point is that commercial breaks my heart. Because it's teaching everybody that even your children are worth knocking down to get to a TV. Mm-hmm. So, not to leave this on a sour note, is I just want to say is that I've never had children. I don't think it's going to be happening in this life, but I think they're precious people. I wish I had the opportunity. And other than that, I appreciate your comments because of the fact that, yeah, we're bombarded all the time. And I think when Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna, it's like you're bombarded all the time in the material world. Turn the thing off and just bombard yourself with Krishna.
Okay, let's stop here because we're pretty late. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.